This in every situation where we have seen God move in a great and mighty way, in every one of those situations, churches have been praying. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't want it, you ain't going to get it. And you have not because you ask not. Amen. Many, many applications there. But I know it also applies to revival. And you know, Pastor, I'm glad for the vision and for the persistence, and that there's an awful lot that goes into a lot of sacrificing, a lot of giving, a lot of work that goes into this tent meeting. And I want to be careful at how I say this, but if we've ever needed to see revival, if we've ever needed to see God break out, it's now. And I want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. I have so many things that are on my mind and so many things I want to say. But I hope this is not just an exercise in the 23rd annual tent meeting. Somebody, I appreciate, Pastor, the very, very warm welcome of your people when we showed up here this morning and the great kindness every time I've been here. And I love this church. I want you people to know I love you, but I love your pastor. And I've always had absolute liberty to preach the Word of God when I've been here. But one of the things that touched me was, one of the first things that someone said to me is, I've been praying. And I've been praying with intensity that the Holy Spirit of God would show up and would use the preachers. And it's an honor to be here with Dr. Schindler and to be preaching with him. But it is not a man that's going to get the job done. And I know that we as preachers know that, and I'm just reiterating that. We need God. We need God to show up. And I believe that He will if our hearts are desiring it. Amen. And so I ask you this morning just to consider, are you wanting it? Are you wanting it? Have you asked God for it? Are you praying for it? I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Numbers, if you would, please, for our Sunday school time. The book of Numbers. I have a dilemma. Too many messages to preach. And about 15 of them, I'm sitting here this morning just saying, Lord, I know how many opportunities I have to preach, and how do I get all this in? And I've been known for preaching a lot of short messages. Compared, everything's relative, Brother Holtzclaw, relative, like to the message that Paul preached the night Eutychus fell out of the window, amen? But Numbers chapter 14, I have to make an admission, I intentionally left my wallet set in the vehicle this morning, or my wallet, yeah, my watch set in the vehicle this morning, and I did that. I thought, well, nobody can correct me or rebuke me for preaching too long, but somebody was kind enough to lay their watch up here, amen? And so, I guess I have to stay on track, amen? Amen. What time do I need to be done by, Pastor? Because I know, what time do I need to be done by? Okay, all right, we're fine. Numbers chapter 14, you can remain seated. I just want to read these verses and get into what God has given to me. Numbers chapter 14, the Bible says this in verse 22 of Numbers chapter 14. Says, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and feel free to turn me down as you need to. Amen. I don't mind a sound room man turning me down. Amen. I don't want to be too loud, but, you know, it could just be I get a little excited when I'm preaching. Amen. And have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice. Then I want you to notice that surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him. I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, another spirit. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for the opportunity to stand here this morning for my dear brothers and sisters. Lord, I thank you for a church that has faithfully stood in the gap, Lord, faithful to uphold the sound doctrine that we find in the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that you would bless us this hour, this day, and this week. The mighty outpouring of your Holy Spirit's power, Lord, I do not deserve that. Father, I am quick to make admission to that. Lord, I pray that you would use me, Lord, not for the glory of man, but I pray that you would use me for the glory of Jesus Christ. I pray that when all eyes and ears are tuned in to the preaching of the Word, whoever it may be that stands behind the pulpit this week, I pray that only Jesus would be seen and only Jesus would be heard. And Father, I ask you now to bless in a mighty way, as only you can, our Sunday school. Lord, so many would write off this hour and say it's just Sunday school. But when this book is opened, we know that the Word of God is quick and it is powerful. Lord, I pray that you would do your bidding this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are some today, I believe, that would look at this verse and say, well, surely the mention that is being made here is of Joshua. I do not believe that. I believe that what God saw when he looked at Caleb was something different. And I believe that what we need to see today in Christianity, what we need to see today in our churches, is another spirit. Brother Schindler, you were making mention this morning while we were back in pastor's office. And I see this a lot today in the ministry of evangelists. So many today are seemingly down on preachers and down on people who want to say amen and want to raise their hand in the air and want to shout hallelujah. And I don't understand that mentality. When we come to the house of God, it ought to be cause for worship. It ought to be cause for praise. And brothers and sisters, what we're doing here ought to be nothing short of just a warm-up for heaven. Amen. I've said it many times. I'll say it again. There's going to be a lot of Baptists who may just want to take a rain check on heaven because they're not going to like it too much, because you've never heard shouting, you've never heard singing, Brother Holt's call, you've never heard praising of our Lord and Savior like you're going to hear in heaven. And I know this isn't really the way it is, and yes, I believe it or not, I guess I'm being just a little caustic when I say this. I believe there's going to be a lot of independent Baptists that are going to feel displaced when they get to heaven. Because they're not going to like the amen, and they're not going to like the shout, and they're not going to like the praise. And by the way, if it's right, it's not something that you have to work up. Amen. When you start realizing that you're slipping or falling back into a law of not having the joy of your salvation or not being excited about being saved, stop, get alone. And think about the cross again. I mean, think about your salvation. Think about the day the Lord Jesus Christ redeemed you. Think about the time that your sins were washed away and God came to you and you didn't deserve it. What you received was undeserving. You got forgiven. You got an eternal home in heaven. You got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. You got the kinship of other brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. You got eternal rewards given to you for everything that you do for your Lord and Savior. You'll eternally reap those rewards in heaven and so much more. Brothers and sisters, if that doesn't get you excited, if that doesn't do something for you, then you better check up and make sure that you're genuinely saved. Amen. But I believe what we need today is to see something different. By the way, not something new, but something that is uniquely different and not being seen in this day and age. We need men and women, children of God, to have another spirit. And I believe that when we study and we examine this passage, we see that as God saw it in the life of Caleb. I want to show you three things this morning in our Sunday school lesson. Number one, I want you to see that when we observe the life of Caleb, well, let's just read this first and then I'll give you the point. Look at verse 1 of Numbers chapter 14. Numbers 14 and verse 1. The Bible says, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron." I'm glad nobody does that today, amen? Nobody's complaining and murmuring against the pastor and against the preachers. The Bible said they murmured against Moses. By the way, Moses and Aaron were God's placed men. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? By the way, let us be mindful that the bringing up out of Egypt is a picture. Hello. It is a picture. You know what? I don't hear Christians, they say, well, would to God we had just stayed lost sinners. Would to God we had not been redeemed. Would to God we had not been born again. I don't necessarily hear people saying that, but I see a lot of people living that way. Then I want you to notice these words. They said one to another, let us make a captain. By the way, note this, they already had one. They weren't looking for a captain. They weren't looking for somebody, for a leader. They had one. They wanted their leader and their captain and not what God had for them. The Bible says in verse 5, then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And then I lack this. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. I'm not going to do this today, Pastor, so don't anybody get nervous. But if I stood here this morning, or if Brother Schindler stood here this morning and he was preaching and proclaiming the Word of God, and people started standing up saying, we don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear the Bible. And you said, preacher, this is what God says, and this is what the Bible. We don't want that. We want something different. And the congregation began to murmur and complain and turn against the Word of God. If something like that happened when I was preaching, or Brother Schindler was preaching, and if in distress and distraughtness, I'm not going to do this this morning. I got an undershirt on, amen. But if I took my shirt and I said, no, you're turning from God, and if I ripped my shirt, boy, I'm going to tell you what, people would get their phones out and they'd be snapping pictures. I'd really be all over the internet, amen. I'm trying to stay off the internet. I don't want to be anywhere for any reason on the internet, amen. Not interested. People would say, that guy's crazy. Now, no one's ever said that about me. Amen. They say, he's overboard. What's wrong with him? There's something wrong with him. But I'm going to tell you something. They rent their clothes. Brings me to the first point. The message titled this morning is Another Spirit. Number one, they had the spirit of passion. I do not understand a preacher that stands and preaches the Word of God and gives under the authority of the Word of God and under the power of the Word of God what God has told him to give, and is not torn in his spirit, or is not heavy in his spirit when people don't respond. I don't understand that. I don't understand that. And I do thank the Lord, and again, this is not an indicator. Thank the Lord for the multitudes of people that come to the altars during the invitations and so forth. But I'm going to tell you something. I've been in congregations already when 99 out of 100. Well, I remember one particular service, Pastor. I was preaching, and every single person in the entire congregation, and it was a large congregation, every single person came out of the pews and out of their seats. And they were filled, the altars were filled, and the aisles were filled in every single aisle. And there was one person standing there. And I was standing, I couldn't even talk, I was weeping for that one person. So, well, you should have had your eyes on all the rest. I did, and thank God they moved. But I want to tell you, my heart was still broken for that one. And I remember the pastor came up to me. I stepped back from the pulpit, he came up to me, and they were playing music, and he whispered in my ear, and he said, all but one. And I still remember the one. You say what you want to say about Joshua and say what you want to say about Caleb, but there was something different. They had another spirit. And you look at this, I believe they had the spirit of passion. They rent their clothes. Why in the world are we not distraught today? Why in the world are we not grieving? Why in the world are we not in sorrow for the state of our country and for the state of Christianity and the waywardness of God's people? Hey, listen, when God called me to preach,
consecutive with the call to preach was the call to be an evangelist. And my heart was broken for America. I preach in other countries, but this is where my heart is. This is where God's placed me. This is where my calling is. This is where my burden is. And my heart is broken today for what's taking place in our nation. But I am sorrowful today, and I am sad today by what's going on in the church.
So many times it just seems like so few people care. Why do we not cry aloud and spare not today? Well, the preachers are too loud. They're too long. Are you kidding me? Are you telling me that we have too much preaching? Are you telling me that we've lifted up our voice too much like a trumpet? Are you telling me that we have cried aloud too much? We haven't spared enough when we're preaching and proclaiming the Word of God. And you say, well, I'm not a preacher, so how does this pertain to me? Every child of God, every blood-bought believer in this room today needs to have the spirit of passion. Amen. Hey, we're mindful of these words we find. And I'm not going to ask you to turn there in the book of Galatians in chapter 4 and verse 8. But it is good, the Bible said. But it is good to be zealously affected always. Well, that's pretty self-explanatory, amen. In a good thing. We don't need zeal without knowledge. But we need Christians today who are zealous. We need people that have the spirit of passion. The Bible still says it is the effectual fervent prayer. Amen. The fervent prayer. Now it's got to be of a righteous man. Amen. But where are the parents today whose kids are away from God? Where are the moms and dads who, when I was a younger man, I remember what it was like coming home at 2:30 in the morning and putting my car in neutral and turning off the ignition and coasting down the hill into the driveway with the lights off, and there was no way anyone heard me, and sneaking quietly into the basement of my parents' house and hearing a noise upstairs and creeping and stepping lightly up the steps, only to find it was my mama on her face in the living room weeping and saying, oh God, do what you got to do to get a hold of my son. She had the spirit of passion. Hey, listen to me. Where are the moms and dads who will pray and will weep and will beg God for their kids and grandkids today? Where are the Christians who care about other Christians? Why are we praying for people who used to come to our church and have left and they're not in any church anymore? They're out of sorts with God. And we're not broken for them and we're not weeping. And there's no more passion. But I see in Caleb, he rent his clothes. And they were distraught because God's people were going the wrong direction. Seems today we're just okay with it. And we've accepted it's just become part of life. Or as they say in the political realm, it's the new norm. Sin is tolerated, condoned, and in some cases even promoted. I'm going to say this to you this morning, no apologies. No apologies under any conditions, no apologies for any reasons, no apologies regardless of whatever the consequences may be. I'm not only a King James only man. I don't care what is going on in our churches, and let me say this, I don't care what is going on in our Baptist churches or in our Baptist movement. I am an old-fashioned, independent, Bible-believing, King James sound in doctrine preacher and will be till the day I die. Brothers and sisters, I don't care what anyone else is doing. I don't care what a movement is doing. I don't care what a college is doing. I don't care what a church is doing. I don't care what leaders are doing. I don't care what a circle is doing. I don't care what a camp is doing. What we're seeing today is at the cost of sound, principled doctrine. At the cost of sound, principled doctrine. We are willing to brush some things aside, and we are willing to turn a blind eye to what the Bible clearly says to fit in and to have a crowd. And we think that somehow, I go back to this. I didn't go to Bob Jones University. You can tell just by listening, amen. But I go back to this, amen. Hey, listen, it is never right to do wrong in order to do right. We need today to have the spirit of passion. We need today to find some people in the house of God who are worked up, amen, who are worked up about sin, who are worked up about the state of our country, who are worked up about what's going on in our churches today and the direction of Christianity.
By the way, I've said this before, I'll say it again. I'm Baptist. I'm out of a Baptist church, amen, an independent, fundamental, old-fashioned, King James-only Baptist church. But my loyalty is not to the Baptist church. It's to Jesus Christ, amen. We see the spirit of passion. In today's age, I believe Caleb would have just been put on the roaster, amen. He ripped his clothes. He's wild. He's out of control. No, he wasn't. He had the spirit of passion. There's a second thing I want to show you, and I need to move forward. Watch this with me. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 9. Numbers 14 and verse 9. Let me pick up at verse 7. I stopped at verse 6. We'll read down through. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and will give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. I want you to notice the first part of that. Number one, understand this. Who was he speaking against? The whole assembly. He had the spirit of passion, but the number two point in the message is more this. He had the spirit of principle. You know, if I say something, this is a large crowd. This is a large group. This is a big group of people. You know, there's a lot of people on this side. We need preachers who are willing to preach out, even if it's against the assembly, even if it's against the large congregations, even if it's against the large camps. We need preachers who are willing to preach out, to preach the truth of Pastor Gilmore, I don't understand what earnestly contending for the truth means if it's not taking a stand for what's right. Well, if you say that, that's going to be offensive to this circle. It's going to be offensive to this camp. It's going to be offensive to this organization. Well, if what this circle, this camp, this organization, or this college, or whomever is doing is not consistent with the Word of God, then let the chips fall where they may. Amen. The spirit of principle. Well, you're up against a large congregation of people. It's just you against that. They sent out a party of 12. That was 10 too many. Amen. By the way, notice this. In the Word of God, you'll find this consistently. Seldom is the congregation going in the right direction. The masses are usually doing, thou shalt not follow a multitude, the Bible says in the book of Exodus, to do evil. Amen. Though hand join in hand, amen, they shall not go unpunished. Listen to me today. Don't go with what the crowd is doing. And at no time does God want us to seek out opportunities for us to shine and try to stand out just so we can be different. Listen to the fullness of that statement. But brothers and sisters, we need some people today to have the spirit of principle and say, if everybody else is doing it and it's wrong, I'm going to oppose it. Amen. Somebody today who is willing to open their mouth and to speak out and to say what needs to be said. I got a little time. So I'll say this to you again. There's a reason why Donald Trump well, we can't say that because we're concerned about our tax-exempt status. If the church is more worried about their status with God than what they are about their 501(c) status, we'd be doing something for the Lord today. Amen. You say, well, who are you endorsing? I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to turn my tie over and ask Pastor to read the name on the back of my tie real loud.
Donald J. Trump.
Amen. He didn't lie, amen. It's right there. Hallelujah. I bought that at a discount store about 10 years ago for $7, amen. Here's, amen. Here's where we are today. Yours says Ollie's, amen. I can't help you. I'm sorry about that. Hillary.
They're all made in China, though, aren't they? Amen. To be honest about it.
People say today, well, you know, this and that and the other thing. I'm not a Trump fan. I don't like Donald Trump as an individual for what he has done and what he stands for. But I'm going to tell you this, and I'll say this again. Come November, America's electing a new president. And it's either going to be Donald Trump or it's going to be Hillary Clinton. So you stay home and don't vote because you can't vote for Donald Trump. You just voted for Hillary. Amen. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. My first choice wouldn't be Donald Trump for president. My first choice would be a Christian. He's not a man of God. He is not a godly man by any stretch of the imagination. But whether you do anything or whether you do a lot, we are getting a new president. It's either going to be Hillary or Donald Trump. If you're in Hillary's camp, you come see me after the service. Amen. I'll help you to get straightened out on that. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. The reason why, to a great extent, he's been so popular is because people are fed up and they're sick and tired of politicians who will not stand for something and will not be honest and say what they believe. Donald Trump's wrong on a lot of occasions. He's right on a lot of occasions too. But he says what he believes regardless of the consequences of the fallout. Listen to me. We need some men and women today who will take a stand for what is right and what they believe regardless of what everybody else thinks. And they'll have some principle, even if it means opposing or standing against a great multitude of people. When I look at this story of Caleb today, and God said he has another spirit, I believe he had the spirit of passion, but I believe he had the spirit of principle. We need some men and women today to have the spirit of principle and say right is right and wrong is wrong. Amen. By the way, the Bible is not open for interpretation. Well, it's all in how you interpret it. Read it, amen. Read it and believe it, amen. We have so many different thoughts and so many different mindsets. Every passage of Scripture has one correct interpretation, but many applications. Many applications. But brothers and sisters, what is going on today that we have 50 people who read one passage of Scripture and they've got 20 different ideas on what that means? Sadly enough, what's going on in most cases is people are trying to twist the Word of God to fit the form of their life. It says what it says. It means what it means. Amen. Just believe it. Amen. Christians say, well, Brother Curlin, I appreciate what you said, but I've got to be honest with you. I'm not doing that because I'm just not convicted right now. I haven't been convicted to do that. I know what the Bible says. I know what you preach, but I just haven't been. You don't need to be convicted. Who cares about whether or not you're convicted? Just obey it. Amen? Just obey it. If God said it, just do it. Amen? And we need the spirit of principle today. One of the reasons, and I've said this before, I'll say it again, one of the reasons why Paul accomplished so much for God is he understood it. He said in Galatians 1 and verse 10, "For do I now persuade men or God?" Amen. He was not interested in being a man pleaser. He wasn't worried about what the crowd said. He said, "Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Brothers and sisters, we can't worry about what everyone else says. We can't worry about what everyone else thinks. We have got to have the spirit of principle. If it says, "Thus saith the Lord," then it's right. Amen. I'm going to tell you in just a minute, and I'm done, what it's going to take for us to get the job done for God. We've seen these two things. He had the spirit of passion. He had the spirit of principle. By the way, let me just say this, Steve, before I move on. Regardless of what your family says, do right. Well, my brothers and sisters, it's disturbing to me how many Christians will skip out on church. I haven't come up, they don't do it too much anymore, but and most of them know right then, but I haven't come up to me on Sunday, "Well, Brother Curlin, it's so good to hear you this morning, but we won't be back tonight." "Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Why is that?" "Well, we have a family reunion." "But where are you going to church?" "Well, we'll be with our family." "Well, don't you think you ought to be in church?" "Well, I do, and normally we are, but this is our one opportunity to be a testimony for Jesus before our family." Well, your testimony before your family, a terrible one. "So, well, how's that?"
Well, here's what you just showed your family who's lost and not saved, who needs Christ or who's away from that. You've just showed them, we have church tonight at 6 o'clock or whatever be the time. And that's the time we go to the house of the Lord. We hear the preaching of the Word of God. We sing songs of praise our God. And we fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. But my family reunion is more important than God. That's what you've just told your family. You know what's wrong in most of the family reunions is Uncle Joe, he's got Hank Williams Jr. blaring on the radio. And Cletus brought the keg of beer. And God said, be not among wine bibblers. So you've chosen the beer-drinking crowd and the honky-tonk crowd or rapping crowd or rocking crowd or whatever it is for your family reunion or your family picnic. You've chosen that over the house of God. Well, if we come to church, our family will be offended. Did you ever think that God's offended once in a while? Are you listening to this morning? Did we ever stop and think that what we're doing may be offensive to God? He looks at me, he looks at us today, and he says, hey, you've chosen not to go to the house of God, not to be with your brothers and sisters in Christ, not to worship me, not to sit under the preaching of my word, but to be with your family at a time that has been appointed, that we're having church. You've chosen your family over me. And God looks and says, for all that I've done for you, I love you so much that I gave my only begotten Son to die on the cross of Calvary. Do you know the price that was paid for your redemption? Do you know how great a love I have for you? Do you know what I've given that you might be made my child? And yet you've turned your back on me for your family. By the way, Jesus said, who are my brothers and my sisters? Who is my mother? They that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. I've got kinfolk. Are you listening? I've got blood relatives. And I've said this before. I say it. I'm going to tell you this today. My brothers and sisters in Christ, in the old-fashioned Bible-believing Baptist churches, they are, as Jesus said, these are my brothers and sisters. This is my family. Amen. And I'm going to tell you what, they take priority. You don't think that I want to be a testimony to family members that are lost and undone? You better believe I do, but there's a right way to do it. Everybody in my extended family knows this. When the house of God is open, when the church doors are open, I'm there. I'm in church. They know I'm going to take a stand. I have walked out of more weddings that were being conducted of family members than you can imagine. I've walked into the reception hall where all my family's gathered and after a wedding and sat down, and all of a sudden the music came across the speakers and got up and walked out. My kids have all done the same. And I've had family say, why would you leave? You're leaving because of the music, but it's family. It's God. Amen. I'm talking about principle today. I'm talking about just simply doing what's right. And by the way, listen to me, Christians. There is never an excuse to be arrogant about it. There's never a reason and an excuse. And it's never acceptable to be haughty about it. But listen to me. We just need to simply take a stand and do what's right. And it doesn't matter what the cost is. Thank God for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Thank God for men like Elijah who stood and stared down the face of adversity there on Mount Carmel, not only against the prophets of Baal, Pastor, but against the entire assembly of God's people. He called them out. He said, if the Lord's God, then follow Him. He wasn't afraid to stare down adversity. He was a man of principle. We need to see that today. Everybody today is running. Everybody today is scared of what everyone else thinks. The wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Brothers and sisters, we need another spirit today, the spirit of passion, the spirit of principle. And then I want to give this to you. Lastly, we're here in this verse, Numbers 14 and verse 9. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. Watch this, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. I'm not 100% sure of this, but I'm pretty sure that when we get to heaven and the marriage supper takes place, the one thing that is going to be served is going to be Cracker Barrel biscuits. Amen. But there's got to be some sides to that as well. I've eaten thousands of biscuits all over the South, and I still have not found anything. I found some that's good, but that supersedes Cracker Barrel biscuits. I mean, it just doesn't, to me, doesn't get any better. You get those Cracker Barrel biscuits, and you crack it, and they got to be hot, amen. You open them up, and the steam's coming off of them, and then you get them little butter containers, amen. I wish Cracker Barrel would serve the big containers of butter, you know. But you get them butter containers, you open them up, and you put about one or two on each side, amen. And then they're blackberry jelly. Man. There's something spiritual about food. You say, oh, I don't think that's a proper statement. Read your Bible. And I'm talking about the marriage supper, amen. We're going to be eating food, amen. That's close to them biscuits are close to manna from heaven, amen. But you get that blackberry, and I like the strawberry too, but you get that blackberry stuff, and you just start loading that up on. My wife and I was preaching a meeting in Hagerstown, Maryland earlier on this year, and we went out one morning to Cracker Barrel, and she ordered her food. I get the same thing every time, the double meat breakfast, amen. Full order of crispy bacon, full order of sausage, three eggs, amen. And then she brought those biscuits out, and I told her, I said, when you bring the biscuits out, I said, bring lots of jelly and lots of butter, particularly the blackberry jelly. Brother Shinley, she brought lots of butter out, but they've gotten, and I have some friends of mine that work at Cracker Barrel, they said they've gotten, it's corporate policy, be stingy with the jelly. So I'm going to let you in on a little secret. You got to order extra. So she brought five biscuits she brought out. She brought out three containers of jelly. And I looked down at that, and I looked up at her, and she was, I said, ma'am, I said, I'm going to eat more than one biscuit. Amen. And she just looked at me. I said, that might get me through one. I said, I mean, at least two to a biscuit, amen. I mean, one container jelly for each side. If you're going to do it right, amen. And sometimes, you know, two for a side if you're really in the mood for it. And she just looked funny at me, and she brought some out, and I said, I'm just going to need a few more than that, you know. And she, her eyes got real big. She didn't say that. She went back. She brought this big container. I said, now she's getting it, amen. And I started cutting those biscuits open, and I was eating them, you know. And I was just enjoying them, putting butter on them and blackberry jelly and eating away, and my food was sitting there, and my wife, and she's eating, you know, and I'm eating the biscuits and stuff like that, and I reached over for a biscuit, and there was none there. And I looked at my wife, and she's just sitting there looking at me. She says, are you enjoying your biscuits? I said, yes. She said, good, because you just ate all five of them. Amen. I didn't. She said, sure you did. And I looked and lo and behold, you know, you didn't eat any of those? No, I didn't eat. You ate all five of them, amen. But it was this way, Brother Holzer. I'm popping them down and they're just, I mean, about, you know, a whole half. You can swallow one time, you know. And I'm eating away and I'm thinking, man, this is good as it gets. And I got to thinking about this, looking at this passage. There's the word said, hey, they're bread for us, amen. They'll go down like hot Cracker Barrel biscuits, amen, as fast as you can eat them, amen. I love Cracker Barrel biscuits, amen. Those boys said, this is how easy it'll be for us to take them. You say, how in the world is that possible? The giants are big, amen. The land is inhabited by mighty people and a mighty foe. How is that possible? Well, let's look, and this is the last point. He said, they're bread for us. Their defense is departed from them and the Lord. Now we get God in the picture here. The Lord is with us. I mean, He had the spirit of possession. Did you get that? He had the spirit of possession. Hey, listen to me. He knew that the enemy was big. He knew that it was mighty. He knew that they were powerful. But what changed? What became the game changer was when he said, hey, here's the difference. We've got God on our side, amen. And God before us, who can be against us? Hallelujah.
We need to have another spirit today and quit hiding in the shadows and quit cowering and rise up, not in a proud or boastful way, but Christian, we need to rise up and say, we are on the Lord's side. And God said, if you be with me, I will be with you. Amen. Hey, listen to me. We are indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God. And Christians, we are more than conquerors. Amen.
We've got a battle to win. We've got a land to inhabit. Brothers and sisters, when I look at Caleb, I see in him another spirit. That's what God saw. There needs to be some men and some women who will rise up today and say, God, help me to have and to possess something different about my spirit. The last thing that we need is a status quo. We don't need Christians that are like everybody else. We need Christians that are like Caleb was in his day, that are like Joshua was in his day, not afraid of anything or anybody except God himself. We need Christians today who possess another spirit. We need Christians today to have the spirit of possession and say, God lives in me. The dynamite power of Almighty God dwells in me. We need Christians today to have the spirit of passion and to be moved and to be concerned and to be heavy-hearted when sin takes place and to rejoice and celebrate and praise God when things are going well and to shout amen and to say praise the Lord and to raise your hand in a holy place if that's what it takes. We need Christians today to have the spirit of principle to say, regardless of what anyone else does, I'm going to do what's right. God said, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. Father, I thank you this morning for the testimony of Brother Caleb. Lord, I pray that in this Sunday school lesson this morning, that you would help us. Lord, we need to see something different today than what we're seeing in Christians. Lord, it isn't something new. We just need to get back to the old paths. Lord, thank you for the testimony that you laid out in your word, Brother Caleb and Brother Joshua. Lord, I pray that you'd move in the hearts of your people this morning, that men and women would be absolutely convinced and absolutely committed to having another spirit about them. Lord, that simply comes when we bow the knee and say, Lord, I need a change. Lord, I haven't altogether been surrendered. I haven't altogether been as zealous as what I should. Lord, I haven't stood for principle. And Lord, what is being seen within me is a far cry from what could be and should be seen within me. And Lord, I pray that we would step aside in our lives and let the glory and the radiance of the light of the Lord Jesus Christ shine forth in this dark day, into this desperate age. I pray that we'll have some men and women who will be more like Caleb and more like Joshua were in their day, be more committed, Lord. And I pray that in all that we do, you would be mightily glorified. Help us, Father. We surely need your help. Revive us again, Father. Lord, I ask, not out of repetition, but out of necessity. In Jesus' name.